Good evening, good evening, and welcome to the Couch Potato Sports Report on this beautiful Friday. Turned out a little like it was going to be cloudy, but the sun came out, so that means we are going to be on and popping. This is the only show that we talk about sports, where you're talking about it around the water cooler. We try not to get too technical, but if we got to get technical, then we'll go to the encyclopedia, Mr. Malcolm Cooley, and he'll fix us all up with the technicalities.
What's going on, fellas?
Thank you. Welcome, Malcolm. Welcome, Deck.
What's going on?
We in the house.
Yes.
It's another good week. It's been a lot of things going on in the sports world. And we're going to kick it off with the WNBA draft that was recently had last week. And they got the highest ratings they ever got. Matter of fact, it was higher than the men's. How about that?
That's cool. Yeah, I'll take it.
I mean, that just tells you that the game has changed. Caitlin Clark went number one. Angel Reese goes number seven. And those are the most two talked about, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But the other teams, they drafted needs.
Yeah.
So 2, 3, 2, 5. So, Malcolm, give me your thoughts on the WNBA draft and what's going on in that world.
Well, it seems like Miss Boston has a running mate to where I think they're going to be tough. I don't know what their front court looks like, but they secure some rebounds on the inside of that defense.
Yeah, I just think everybody seems to think that there's going to be this big change within the WNBA because of the players that are coming up now.
I think if anything, the big change that's going to happen is broadcast rights. I mean, if you look at the stable of sponsors that those players get from NIL, they're going to want to have some influence on, like, hey, you're showing our girl. Let's get her shown more. Let's sell more products. Let's sell more shoes, more whatever it is that they sell. And yeah, I think that's going to change the WNBA in that regard.
Well, I mean, it needs to. You know, Caitlin Clark got her own shoe.
Mm-hmm.
Her and some of the other ladies, in particular Angel Reese, they've got them NIL deals where they're making millions of dollars.
Right, yeah.
And then they sign a deal with the WNBA for $300,000.
Yeah.
$70,000 a year. That's a blue-collar job.
Does she get free parking or anything like that?
That's the thing that puzzles everybody, because the NBA are basically funding that league.
Correct. Yeah.
But they're not pushing the league right. And I think they're not doing it because they don't want that league to get better, bigger than theirs. What you think?
It's crazy though, Mike. I don't think they know how to push it, to be honest with you,
mm-hmm.
because you can't do the same things that you do for the men and expect the women game to thrive, because it's played differently.
It's played differently.
So even with your N1, they may have an N1 moment, 1 out of 50.
Yeah.
So you can't push I think they got to market the women's game for women.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it's not a put down.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
It's absolutely not a put down at all, and they don't know how to market it. But I think one of the things that they should reflect upon is how they market the women's game in places like Europe, because they actually pay them more there. They have a lot more fans. The fans, they know who they are and everything. They're very much celebrated. And I doubt it's so much a culture thing. I just think that in American society, they've spent so much and they've built so much and invested so much into the men's game.
Yeah.
They've never tried investing into the women's game. They just kind of set it up to shut other people up, but they've never really invested in it.
An afterthought.
Yeah, it was at best. Yeah. So.
And now it's fixing to go kaboom.
Yeah.
Now, let me see what y'all think about this thought. Okay, the NBA, if they play it smart, number one, they ain't got enough players in the WNBA. They don't have enough teams.
Right.
So there's a lot of girls out there that can play, but because they don't have enough teams, they can't employ a lot of players. They've dropped some good players because of the money
right.
and all that. The NBA needs to invest in more team ownerships. What I'm saying is more cities, mm-hmm. find the owners and push toward at least five more teams. Because if you go five more teams, all those girls is having to play in Europe. They're going to be able to play at home. It's a lot of good female players out there that are not on these WNBA teams because they don't have enough roster spots.
Right.
They picking what they feel is the best of the best. And then you got some that's the best that ain't on the roster.
Overlooked. Yeah.
Yeah. So the NBA could win right here. The NBA got all kind of money.
Yeah.
They could win right here if they said, let's get more women on, let's get more cities. I don't know if it's five is the number or three the number, but you got to get more cities.
You know what? In the chat, there is Mariana who's offering to cut off a finger for a WNBA team in Richmond. So you already got a fan there.
Yeah.
No fingers necessary. Mm-hmm. I think also one thing that would also push them as far as marketing is if they did tournaments with women's teams in Europe.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you could. Yeah, that's a good idea because they're trying to make the game international, ain't they?
I feel like I'm making my case to become not a commissioner necessarily, but you know, some sort of director of marketing. You know, okay.
That's not a bad idea to where they could even, like you say, they got those teams in Europe. Some kind of way they could meet in the middle. Couple of teams. To play those teams.
Also small markets. Small markets generally don't have anything except loyalty and tie.
Right.
You know, I'm really surprised Oklahoma City got a basketball team, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah.
But then it's actually worked out. Now you look at that same model with the USFL or UFL or whatever it's called now.
Yeah.
And they're in places like Memphis.
Yeah.
You know, they're in like Arlington. Is that Texas or
Texas.
Okay. So, I mean, Texas already has plenty of, you know, but I think Arlington's closer to Arkansas. You know, if anybody feels like correct me, go ahead. It would make sense, you know, to have some of those teams in some of those places because, you know, they're not necessarily going to keep moving everywhere. And one thing I did want to mention about last week, that's kind of a weird sidebar.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the UFL.
Yeah.
Across the board. The graphics on all their logos, top-notch butterscotch. Mm. It almost makes me want to buy a jersey or a hat.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't actually care.
Gotcha.
I'm just putting that out there.
Gotcha. So.
Malcolm, your thoughts?
Well, I mean, it's some work to be done. I just think the way the women's game is played, if they just market the fact that they can shoot the basketball.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to play above the rim.
Right.
You don't want them to do the same thing that the guys do. They have a brand all their own that's competitive.
Right.
Especially if you enjoy basketball and understand it.
Right.
You're not lost in what's going on in the activity.
And now marketing people need to be telling the media what you just said.
Yeah.
We're branding this as this.
Yeah.
We know we're not going to play above the rim, right. But we're branding the WNBA as this because this is a style that's all its own.
Right.
Don't forget the chat. We got a lot of some happy returnees. We have Mariana, we have Shorty, and the one and only, the man, the myth, the legend, Smoke.
Smokey.
So yeah. You know, we got like a lot of love going on
right now. Well, that's great, man. Yeah. It's a beautiful Friday. Again, you know, it's Cigar Friday for me and sitting out on the porch smoking a cigar, thinking about some WNBA basketball, you know, Angel Reese in particular.
I bet you are.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Did you see what she had on at the WNBA draft?
Oh, my.
My God.
Yeah. She kind of brought it back with the little Grace Jones headpiece.
Oh, my God. Wait a minute. I ain't talking about that.
Mariana.
Wait a minute. Angel was in full form and they were black.
Yes.
Do you hear me?
Yeah.
You saw them, didn't you?
Yeah.
See through. I said, my God, the ratings just flew out the roof.
Yeah, that's why she gets the NIL money.
So. Oh my God. I'm going to give her some of my NIL money too.
Jeez Louise, this is a family show.
Yeah, what you got?
There, Mariana's a little surprised that she went seventh. And actually, I kind of second that. I kind of figured she would go up a lot higher, a lot more teams. It's because that's the thing is size. You can't coach for size. You can just have somebody that's big out there. And, you know, she's one of the taller players. But I did find it kind of fortuitous that that Caitlin Clark went to Indiana, because Indiana is kind of a basketball state. Right. You know, yeah. That hardworking blue-collar, yeah. quote-unquote, white basketball
in.
Players.
Well, where did she play her right college ball?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like right up the street. So, yeah, that's nice
fits,
and close.
She fits right in with that.
She's like Larry Bird and dragged to them. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, you know, Camila Cardoza goes second, which is rightfully so. She basically dominated for the big women, big ladies this year. Mm-hmm. She's, you know, if you know her story, you know that it's special. I'm sure they all got them, but they in particular talked about her as being 15 and leaving her family in Brazil and just kept getting better and better. Yeah. And I think she's going to be a force to be reckoned with within the WNBA, because she's big. She can move. She can move. She can run the floor.
Right.
She can do all that. And as far as Angel Reese, I figured Angel will go between 5 and 7. Angel is kind of a tweener to me. She can do a lot of things, but I think that the WNBA style is going to fit her better.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
You know why? Because I'm Angel got a little street player in her.
Yeah.
And that's what the WNBA and the NBA is.
Correct. Yeah.
It's street ball.
To an extent. I get it one on one.
Yeah, one on one. And Angel got that big body. And she's a good post player.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, she can move. And to get the ball in space, that's a bucket.
That's right. So, that's a bucket. She got to probably work on her mid-range
a little bit. I was going to say, give me a 10 to 15 foot jump shot.
Yeah.
Woo.
She got to work on her mid-range a little bit, but I think with time, mm-hmm. I think that'll happen.
Yeah. Well, her defense is already there. So.
Yes.
You know, this just brings it back to the power of the NIL. You know, it's making stars out of these players, you know, because this in a field of hundreds of amazing athletes in college, you have some of these people that would stand out, you know, partly because of the marketing of Adidas and Nike and Prada and stuff like that. So you take all that and then you push it into the next level. That's only going to help the WNBA.
Right.
These leagues need stars. They need focal points.
They do.
You know, as much as you have like the heroes, the villains also, you know, have to come through.
Yeah.
And I think that was part of the narrative with Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark. You know what I mean? I think that was a lot of that. They needed that dichotomy.
And they got it. The media made that up. And then when, like Angel said, they're friends.
Right.
You know, they're competitors, but they're friends. And so, you know, the media would take it and do what they do with it to get everybody to watch.
Right.
And we did. So, and that's common. I mean, it happens in the NBA every day. In the Hawks game the other night, I saw Drummond and Bruno Fernando going at it. Okay, and then at the end of the game, they hugging up.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's just competition.
I've actually probably seen him at a cigar bar.
Yeah, you probably see him at a cigar bar. Hey, man,
I was going to say someplace else, but yeah, this is a family show.
Well, you probably see him now too. But yeah, it's all that. And, you know, for this ladies' sport, I really hope it blossoms. Like I said, Caitlin Clark got her own jersey, got her own shoe, home jersey, but she's got her own shoe. And it's going to be interesting to see if you see men walking around with a Caitlin Clark jersey.
That would be funny. If I had money, I would have bought a women's national team jersey.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm broke. So,
I mean, see, I can hang them up in my man cave.
Yeah.
Like I got some jerseys hung up down there.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, you know, Angel Reese, Tahina Powell. Those are my kind of my, and the girl from Notre Dame, her Delico, I think that's her name. Uh-huh. The guard, freshman guard there. She's one of the top guards in the country. But I think it's great. Don't y'all? I mean, it's about time that women got their due. And it's time for them to make the money that the men make if they can. At least go up. The stars, they need to make money.
Yeah, I think this is one of those cases. The stars are going to end up making more money off of. I think the stars are going to end up making more money off of their endorsements than they will anything. Yeah.
They are, but the league.
Now this, I want to get to this part. We have a caller calling in, Marielle.
Hi.
Hi. You said you were. You said that Prada did Caitlyn dirty.
Yes.
Talk about that, sister.
I mean, her outfit was fine, but that jacket could have been way more tailored. I mean, she has a basketball body. Why would you put her in a boxy ass jacket and then look like it was attempted to be tailored with a safety pin in the back?
Can I answer the question for that?
Yes.
It's because the devil wears Prada.
Okay. This guy.
Is that why you had me call in just so you could say that?
No, but I didn't think of it until now because I just put two and two together as far as Prada. So,
hey, Dick, let me ask you. Okay, since you critiqued Caitlyn, critique some of the other girls that you saw too.
Who stepped out on the carpet for you?
Namely, Angel Reese.
I'm not critiquing Caitlyn, just for the record. I'm critiquing Prada because she said Prada dressed her.
Right. Oh, okay. She did say that. Wow. But what do you think about some of the clothes that the other girls wore?
Rakia Jackson was my favorite.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Who?
Rakia Jackson.
Okay.
Cameron Brink. Tried too hard. She's so beautiful. She did not need to have a full mask of makeup and a dress that was cut up so high, like it left nothing to the imagination, and it was so thin when she was walking to the stage, you could see through it. So
you could what? Say that? Oh yeah, you could. Yeah, I was looking.
I'm personally a big fan of shoulder, so you know.
Oh yeah, well. I don't know.
He spilled his peanut butter again.
What did you think of Angel Reese? What did you think about what she had on?
Oh, I loved her.
Okay.
Dress. I mean, it was sparkly, so I liked it, and I liked how it had a hood.
I did too.
Yeah, that was different for me.
It was nice.
Yeah, just Amazons just walking all over that stage. I am far from mad about that.
Yeah,
I am far from mad about that. I think the fact that we're talking about these guys again, it lends to the power of the star power that these players have and how much they're just going to shine further and further. When you market that, when you actually show these people, not just on the court, but off the court kind of stuff, really build up their personalities, that is what's going to push the league forward.
Yeah.
You can't just have, like, how many players from like past NBA or WNBA leagues can most people name? A few stars, like you're going to know your Sue Birds, you know, you're going to know your Lisa Leslie's, but there's other people that made it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Now you got, you know, of course, Dawn Staley and everything, but you know, I digress.
What's her name again?
Mariana.
Uh-huh. You know, I think it's ironic that, you notice that part about, you know, Prada and Caitlin Clark, because I didn't even think nothing about that. I mean, you know what I mean? I'm just saying that just tells you the different interests that maybe men and women might look at. You know what I mean? I was just looking and seeing where she was drafted. You know what I mean?
She said Prada dressed her, and she was the first professional player that ever happened to. But yeah. But I also did notice that her outfit was not flattering.
Yeah, so I mean,
all you saw was her legs. All you saw was the definition in her legs.
Yeah, well, her outfit did do her legs justice, but her jacket. Again, I also said Rakia Jackson's outfit was my favorite. Both outfits. Yes.
Okay.
Very tailored jacket with a little bikini top, looking so good.
Yeah. In fairness, I don't really find Caitlin Clark that flattering.
I don't either.
That's part of my point. You're not doing her any favors. I'm sure she has a banging body, but you can't tell because of that stupid jacket.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't mean this in a derogatory way, but I've looked at Caitlin and I've tried to find something and I still hadn't found anything.
She does have great arms.
She's got very defined legs. But she's an athlete. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's what I see when I see her. Now when she lets her hair straight down, she is the resemblance of a female to me, but not a whole lot. Hmm. That's my thought.
I mean, you know,
not trying to throw no dirt at her. I'm just telling you what I see.
She's not going to get the 9 o'clock call at the club, but she might get the 3 o'clock call at the club. You know, but
I just want to point out
all I'm saying. Is this when you look down the list? You know, she's challenged with some really incredibly beautiful women.
Yeah.
Snooze, as far as I'm concerned.
But that challenge is on her own team, though.
That's
true. Yeah.
She can shoot now. But,
oh, my God. Can I please say, no one would say this shit about men. Sorry for swearing. I forgot it's a family show. But would talk about this with men.
This is true.
Men wouldn't talk about this with men. Or at least I hope they would.
How's this? I'll give you one. Devin Booker is ugly. He looks like a Funko Pop predator. How's that? You know Funko Pops? Okay, I guess I lost the crowd on that one. But he looks like a Funko Pop.
But truth be told, that's the issue also that the WNBA is facing. If you remember, the Atlanta Dream had an awesome Cautry.
Oh, thank you.
Angel McCautry.
Yes. Still one of the best basketball players I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But still, it's hard. How do you take your daughter to the game and then you see other female hugged up one to one another?
Yeah.
That look just it's not appealing.
Now, Angel was a pretty girl until.
Exactly.
Well, I am siding on Mariana about this one. We don't expect that much of the dudes. We don't expect these guys to show up, you know.
Well,
looking their best or anything like that.
I'm going to push back just a little bit.
How many Maybelline sponsorships are coming out of the point guard area?
I don't know. Honest. I'm saying in the 80s, I knew Jordan showed up in a nice suit. All your athletes showed up looking as dapper as they could be. Now they get your baggy jeans.
It's this generation.
Correct. Right.
Yeah.
I don't even have any words for the way. Go ahead.
I have to give my son a bath, but my last thing is I'm only talking about judging their physical appearance, period. Because what NBA players wear is talked about pretty regularly. So I'm not talking about their clothes, it's just their physical appearance. Devin Booker, I can totally see the Funko Pop thing because he has like those dead beady eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. Like he likes the color yellow and hates women at the same time. Yeah.
Well, some of these, like Russell Westbrook, when he comes in, I have no idea what he's thinking.
Yeah.
I mean, these cats are. The guy wore a dress one time. Come on, dude.
He doesn't have to.
Come on now. Come on.
Right.
I don't get that. So, anyway.
Yeah.
But look. Mariana, thank you so much. We're going to take a break right here. And if you will, stay with us when we come back. We're going to keep moving on, and we're going to talk a little bit more about some NBA stuff, some Hawks stuff, and hang in there with us, okay?
Stay with us.
Back in a minute.
Hey, this is Mo Better from the Couch Potato Sports Report. Graduation is upon us, and a new car is a great gift. Don't just send them into the world with a reliable ride but unreliable insurance. At the Levesque Group, we will find the best tailor-made policy. We could even add on renter's insurance for further coverage and a better deal. Just call Todd Dean at the Levesque Group. Call Todd Dean at 678-777-7718. Again, call Todd Dean at 678-777-7718.
Hey, this is producer Dex with the Couch Potato Sports Report. I have so much fun watching these guys talk about sports like they're sitting around a water cooler. There are a few things that can compare to sharing your peace of mind about something that you care about. Have you ever thought about telling the world what you know? That's where Podbean comes in. Podbean is a podcast platform that combines live streaming, analytics, a website, and more all in one place. You can create, record, distribute, manage, and monetize your pod from a desktop or phone app. Start with the basic free plan and receive a $100 credit for advertising to build your audience. Now go to the show notes, click on the link, and you will receive a $100 advertising credit when you start your podcast today. Also, it's a great way to support the show.
All right, coming back on the Couch Potato Sports Report, T-Bird, Mr. Malcolm, the Encyclopedia Cooley, and Deck on the ones and the twos. And we just got through having a great conversation with Mariana. Thank you for always calling in and hanging with us.
Can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
You and I have been doing this for 2 years. I haven't earned a nickname. I get laughter. No nickname. Again, don't emotionally deflect from it. I don't get it. The man walks in here and is named after a detective.
I
feel like I ain't earned it.
I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to work on one.
You work on that.
I'm going to work on one. That's a good point. I'm going to work on one for Nick. Nick say, I want to play too.
Can I be part of your game?
But, you know, we were talking about WNBA, and so hopefully all that stuff is going to open up to where everybody buying their shoes, everybody buying their jerseys so they can make more money. All right, let's talk about them Atlanta Hawks, Malcolm. They lose the play-in game to the Chicago Bulls. They were down 18, came back to within 2 or 3, I believe, and lost anyway. And then Chicago goes on to beat them, I think, by 13 or something. Malcolm, I know they're going to make changes. What changes do you think they need to make?
They don't have a fire starter. Because obviously, looking at the box score, you're down 40-22 in a playoff game. It'd be different if it was a regular season game. But a playoff game right there, no matter how much you rah-rah, whatever kind of scheme the coach has got, that's just difficult to come back. They've got to get somebody that can shoot it lights out with their eyes closed. You know what's going up, that's 2 points. And get me somebody that's on the inside that's going to be a difference maker.
Well, they got back to within 3 and 5.
But see, when you're down that far, it takes that much energy.
It takes a lot
just to come back that, and you don't have that extra oomph.
They don't have that. And so now, Dick, everybody's talking about it's going to be inevitable changes, okay? You know the word, but we're going to trade Murray. We're going to trade. I mean, that's all they talking about. That's all they talking about. I mean, when I hear people say that they got Murray, they gave up a lot to get Murray, a bunch of draft picks. That you got Murray for Trey and Trey to work together.
Right.
I want to know, Deck, have they given them enough time to work together? It's been a season and a half because Murray came at midseason last year.
Okay.
So it's been a season and a half. Have they given them enough time to work together?
No, man, you're not even getting through the honeymoon period. You got a first year with Quinn. Like, come on, man.
Right.
Yeah, but what are we doing here?
Okay, Malcolm.
That's what I was thinking as far as the coach. I mean, he's new too. So just you got to get some kind of continuity for him to be comfortable with the ball players.
So that being said, that's all you hear. You can
change it, but when you change it, you're going to have the exact same, if not worse.
Right.
Yeah, you're just going to be in a worse spot. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. But that's all you get. Well, it didn't work. I agree with y'all. They ain't gave enough time to work.
No.
Okay, you said you was going to put Trey at the two. How many times did you do that?
I've never seen him play at the two. He played
the two a little bit.
I'm saying I never seen him. Every time he's always had the basketball. Every time I've seen him.
They did put him at the two a little bit. But you got to get some continuity. You were talking about we need a big man. We need a big man.
Yeah.
I tell you, the perfect example would be Edie out of Purdue. Mm. I don't need him to score.
Right. You just need the body.
I need him to take some bodies out and to be a force in there.
Yeah.
You understand? And I mean, I told y'all who I'm building around.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Johnson, Dejounte Murray, and Trae Young. I'm going to take them three, and I'm going to trade or do what I can with everybody else.
Yeah.
To me, that's what you do.
I'm just going to encourage your depression to sit in. This is what they're going to do. Okay. They're going to pick Bronny on their first pick. Bring him here. Him and his dad are going to make spectacles of themselves. It's going to distract from everything that they're doing, and we're going to get clowned out of the NBA. And David Silver will personally come down here and smack the taste out of their GM's mouth.
You know what?
Prediction, baby. I'm putting my money in Vegas on it.
You putting money out there.
Yeah. I'm telling you, they make those kind of decisions. They make those kind of decisions. They do.
They do. I can't just
tell me I'm wrong. They don't make those kind of decisions.
It's right up their alley because of how many miles it's on LeBron James.
That's right.
We get the star, but we get him
when he's done.
Yeah.
And trust me.
Yeah.
After this playoff run, LeBron's going to be right there.
Yeah.
At done. And so, you know, the Hawks hire in another assistant GM today. He's supposed to be over, I don't know if it's going to be analytics or the money, the situation like that, because, you know, I already got Kyle Korver. They had Travis Slink, who I thought was doing a very good job.
Mm-hmm.
But when Travis did not want to bring Murray here because he thought they was giving too much, they just kicked him out the door. He took a team and built it, and then they went to the conference finals.
Yeah.
And then they get rid of it. Ain't that Atlanta?
Yeah. And somebody else is going to.
Because, you know, if you got him as your GM, let him run the team.
Trust him. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, look what he built a 50-win.
He didn't give you a reason not to. I put it that way.
He built a 50-win team.
Yeah.
They won 50 games, conference finals. If Trae didn't get hurt, we might have would have got to the finals.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, how freaky is that your star player steps on a referee's foot?
Mm.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
It's what the basketball gods expected, a sacrifice.
You got a good point.
It's either that or his hair. Tomorrow. You know what I'm saying?
So, you know, anyway, what do you think, Malcolm, in the front office? What do you think needs to happen there? You know, how much faith do you have in Landry Fields?
I don't see basketball minds in our front office. Similar to, say, how Joe Dumars is in there. Yeah. Somebody that's been there and done that.
Yeah.
And not just doing it off of favoritism or something that looks good. He really knows what kind of product he wants out there on the court.
Well, you got Kyle Korver.
Okay, and I'm glad you said that. That's almost what other role player can I pull?
You got Kyle Korver. And Landry Fields, the GM, played in the NBA.
Yeah.
Didn't nobody know who the hell Landry Fields was until he became the GM.
I was just going to say.
I didn't even know he could spell NBA.
Oh, man, you know? And so then we get this guy from Golden State. He's a assistant GM or whatever out of their front office over here. So you still trying to build Golden State?
Correct.
Hey, man, if it worked once.
See what happened with
come
that.
Come on now.
Yeah, that's why we got Trae.
Yeah.
Because we were Slink came from Golden State.
Mm.
So it's obvious. They have a lot of problems.
I'm actually going to give you a little bit of pushback on Zach Edey. I want to put it on the record. I do like him as a player. I think he's very good. But also, every time he scored the goal, it's always been his back was to the rim. It wasn't. He can't really do much outside of that. His defense fairly solid.
And truthfully, it's going to be that way for him. His first few years.
We don't want him to come in and start. We want him to come in and come off that bench and give us that force that we need.
He's got that size and everything. But
and you know,
He's so he's bigger than it's our like having right
a,
now.
It's like having a 300-pound fullback.
That's exactly right.
And making him a pass catcher.
Yeah.
No, we're going to run.
He bigger than both our bigs put together.
Yeah.
Mariana says he's a grump. Hey, that's just the Canadian speaking, all right? Let's give him a chance, people.
Well, let's talk about this roster. Mm. Okay, I'm going to call a name, and I want you to tell me if he's in or out. Okay, Matt?
Okay.
Clint Capela.
Deported.
In or out?
He'd be out for me.
Okay. DeAndre Hunter.
It's a close one. He's shaking.
Out for me. Double O, a Congo.
Osmitazin.
Yeah, he did.
That's German. Okay. Get your ass out of here.
He can't stay on the floor.
Correct, exactly.
He can't stay on the floor. Yeah. Matthews. What's his name?
Garrison Matthews.
Garrison Matthews.
Everybody you're naming is like a role player.
He ain't even G League.
Bro, he's going to make the best assistant GM. You can just tell by the name.
This guy ain't even G League
right.
to me.
Yeah.
Okay, Vic. What? Dinch.
Vic.
What's his name?
Krejcha.
He just has a shot.
He's going to.
Okay. Yeah. Now, actually, I could see him as maybe a number 11, number 12. Mm-hmm. On my bench because I like his energy.
Right, right.
Yeah, you know, I like his energy. So I would.
I guess for me, especially when I think basketball, you know, I think both sides of the court.
Yeah, I'm thinking so. He plays a little D, a little.
Okay.
But I like his energy. He gives it everything he has.
That's great. James Ingram also said sometimes your best isn't good enough.
Yeah, that's true. So, I get that. So, I get that. But you know, different coaches have different ones that they like.
Right, right.
Okay. Let's go with Wes Matthews.
What? Wes?
He ain't even G League. And he's been in the league 14 years.
I'm going to tell you, Wesley Matthews is that guy that you read about on Reddit that happens to have a job. And then the manager gets switched up. They never give him work, but he just keeps getting paychecks.
Oh,
and nobody knows. He's like done some like online learning. He's got a certificate in cybersecurity. Doesn't know what he'll do with it. But right now he's still catching collecting a paycheck until they catch him. Might retire in a year or two, go surfing. You know, he's
supposed to be on the team for his defensive prowess. Prowess. Come on. Have you ever seen his shot?
No, I hadn't even seen him play consistently.
Awful. Oh my God. And you know, his daddy played for the Hawks too. Wes Matthews. I remember.
Wow. Okay.
He wasn't no good either.
Exactly.
Consistency.
Oh my God. It's okay. Deontay Murray.
Mm-hmm.
Murray.
I mean, I like him. It's just I don't know if we have a team that fits his style.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. Because he can play.
Yes.
And he's got energy.
Let me ask you this. I said I would build Jalen Johnson, Trey, and Murray.
Yeah.
Okay. You got a Trey and Murray are ball dominant.
Right.
Okay. Trey said he'll do whatever. To help this team. I honestly think
Trey is only ball dominant because the coach and staff allowed
it. Yes, yes. Put him at the two.
Correct.
Just say, look, play the two.
Yeah.
And let Murray bring the ball down. That's what I'm saying. Like, you got three good players right there. You can't build around that. Go get you some big ball. You need another three that can score.
Correct.
You don't have that.
No.
DeAndre Hunter was a no-show again in the play-in game. He acted like his mind was running to the restroom when it was time to play on the floor. Just off.
Just dropping some shit on you, huh?
And see.
Pun intended.
Look at the good month. Look at the good month he had.
Mm-hmm.
But see, he's so inconsistent.
It's fool's gold.
Yeah, it is. You can't bank on that. I told you, you couldn't bank on DeAndre Hunter.
You said that. Those were your words.
You couldn't bank on him because he gonna fall off the cliff after a while, and he did. In the big game, he was a no-show.
To say I'm sorry just doesn't get it.
And he's done this for 4 years.
In fairness,
making $24 million a year.
In fairness, he's got this condition to where his hands come around his neck and begin a choking maneuver. It's you know, scientists are still trying to figure that out. It's always come playoff times. It's weird timing. So yeah.
Well, okay. Let me ask you this. Deck, I'm going to ask you first. What do you think of the job Quinn Snyder's doing?
I think Quinn is doing an excellent job with what he has.
Okay.
The man doesn't have the sharpest tools, but he's still trying to build a pyramid. So.
All right.
Nah. Again, I'll go back to my best not being good enough. I think they need a change of pace. Somebody to shake up different. Just the whole organization to change to make you want to come out there and play night in and night out.
Well, Quinn was the change of pace.
Well,
look, Quinn ain't going nowhere. He signed a 5-year deal. So Quinn is here at least for 3 years.
But I'm saying, do the players even like him? Do they want to play for him?
I think Trey does.
Yeah, but.
When they trade Trey, Quinn is gone. What are you saying, dude?
I mean, but okay, who do you suggest within the league? Who do you suggest?
Like I said, I'm not sure who they could go out there and get at this point. For what we need and for a motivator. Because I don't see that when I think of Quinn Snyder. He might be that. He might.
Quinn is a tactician.
Okay.
He's just watch him on the sidelines. Mm-hmm. His brain is working constantly. He's a tactician. But you need players. If you look at the NBA, let me ask you, is Darvin Ham, do he seem to be a great coach to you? I know it's his first gig.
I remember when he played for the Nuggets.
I wasn't going to say the same thing.
He played for the Hawks, too. Yeah.
I think he's got a really good team, and it makes him look like a good coach.
What did I just say?
Yeah.
You need great players.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, let me ask you. In Milwaukee, mm-hmm. when they had Adrian Griffin.
Yeah.
Okay, they were 40 or 30 and
13.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you bring in supposedly a good coach, you right. fire him,
right?
And you bring in Doc Rivers, and they're 500. So what does that tell you? Okay, number one, I don't know if those players really like playing for Doc.
Right.
Apparently, Griffin was doing something right.
Yeah.
Because they hadn't played it nearby as well since Doc came.
Yeah.
So the NBA head coach. All he is just a facilitator. He just
facilitator.
Facilitator. That's what I said.
Yeah, I was going. This is exactly what you said, brother.
Anyway, anyway, all he's doing is moving people around to put him in the best position to be successful, and you letting the players do the work. The Atlanta Hawks don't have no players.
I was just about to say, the Hawks don't have the players.
They don't have no players.
I just want to circle this back to back when I was in college. I worked at a Blockbuster Video, and we had a manager. That's what she would do. She would just kind of shuffle us around. None of us actually did any work. None of us could shoot a jumper either. So, again, you know, these cycles of management happen. So, I blame management.
Well, You got, okay. When you look at the NBA game, they all seem like they're doing the same thing.
Yeah.
What they got to have? In the NBA today, you got to have spacing.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have some big guys to not dominate the game.
Right.
To rebound.
Give you second and third chances.
Give you second and third chance. Get the ball out to the three-point shooter.
Right.
That's what the big man's game is now. And the Hawks, they can't really do that either. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do. I've heard people say they need to blow it up. That's all we ever do is blow it up.
Every year.
I'm tired of blowing it up. We got to get some answers, Dad.
The Hawks are that first wave soldiers during World War I that when like the commanders blew the whistle, they'd go over the trenches. And then the Germans would shoot them. And then LeBron would come in and, you know, dunk on somebody. That's, if I remember my history books, that's how that was.
Gotcha.
That's, you know, somebody, you got to make that sacrifice somewhere so the rest of the league can live. So,
well, let's think about this, Malcolm. Mm-hmm. How come we never get players like Tyrese Hill? How come we never get players that they talk about in the league? They don't even show the Hawks on NBA TV
at all.
They don't even even.
You don't see a highlight. Of
you don't. You don't. See, you don't see a highlight.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not even in the conversation. On First Take.
Right.
On Get Up.
Right.
Only when are they going to trade somebody?
Yeah.
So what do we got to do to get some of the names that's throughout the league?
It's a narrative you have to change. I just don't see. I don't know how they're going to change it.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
I say they get Seth Curry from the Hornets. You want to bring in, you want to model a team after Golden State. You know what I'm saying? You got the next best thing, the older brother or whatever.
Yeah, but Seth ain't Steph.
Well, it's add a T. You know what I'm saying? Just, it'll be close.
Well, I was going to say he'll give Trey another person that can space the floor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just make a bunch of trades.
It's like they're scared of those success. Names.
Right.
Success. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I mean, you can be afraid to know you're going to have a certain type of success that's going to require you to, one, continue it. Right. So if you fail every year, oh, we're going to give it another try.
And one more guy was going to ask you about the one that got hurt towards ACL. Come on.
Seth Lundy? No, that's his. He had his back. He had his back.
Ain't even played. You know, the one that just went down, our boy. Malik.
Oh.
Sadiq Bey.
Sadiq Bey, yeah. With the forehead, yeah.
What do you think about Sadiq?
Well, he's got a lot of energy when he plays.
Yeah.
I don't know as far as what 20-foot or 25-foot jump shot he has. And see, now even with his injury, confidence, I don't know if he'll have it when he comes back.
I'm going to push back on you on that one.
Okay.
He's at the ripe age of 25 to where if he starts the season off like kind of sharp, you know, again, you said energy and he's sharp. I think, you know, that mentality, he can build on that. I think he's at that age to where he can build on that. And so if you give him a good nudge, you know what I'm saying? I don't know, send him a edible arrangements or something to make him feel good about himself. Maybe he'll start off the season right. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
I honestly think he's at that age to where he can do that. He can pull that off. If he's older, maybe not.
I think he's going to have to come back and have confidence. I think he's that type of player.
Only just saying it because, and I was much older when I had it, but injuries, knowing I could play a certain sport, could I play it the way I used to?
Yeah.
That's what I'm speaking.
But with surgeries today, I mean, they do it.
Correct.
I mean, think right. about an Achilles.
Yeah.
I mean, Dominique,
yeah.
that's been 30 years ago, eh?
True.
Yeah. And you know,
he sad to say though, but when Neek did his, he was done as far as being the Neek.
Oh yeah,
right.
Right. But Sadiq Bey, I think Sadiq Bey is a good ball player on a very good team.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
And so on an Atlanta Hawks team, he's so up and down.
He blends in with the bad.
With the bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, we're gonna stay on basketball and. You know, I want to talk about LeBron James for a minute.
After LeBron James, I kind of wanted to bring up something about Jokic because I feel like he's not getting the love that he deserves. And then I heard Stephen A. talk shit, and it makes me hate Stephen A. even more. So go ahead with LeBron. I'm about to murder that fool. Listen, I'm going to drop bars on him.
Well, the question is, if LeBron James wins another title, is he the GOAT, Malcolm?
Honestly, I will say I've never been a LeBron fan up until this past year. I really like him as a ball player. As far as the GOAT goes, I just think it's hard because are we talking about the best basketball player ever or we're just talking about longevity?
We talking about the GOAT, whatever the GOAT is.
I know, but I'm saying – you're eventually gonna have all the statistics if you play long enough. Playing. So does that make you the best? That's what I'm. And so
to me, it doesn't.
Right. Now that's why I said. Yeah. I mean, he'll be a good ball player, but I don't think the GOAT.
I think yes, and I think a lot of people that are holding on to Michael Jordan. And don't get me wrong, I'm not taking anything away from him. Mm-hmm. I think the people that are holding on to Michael Jordan are holding so tight and their eyes are closed so tight. They're not seeing what LeBron has brought to the game. From the minute he stepped onto the court, he's been exciting. He's been like the only player to where everybody tuned in to see where he was going to on the next team when they did the whole conference thing and he went out to Miami or whatever.
So just out of curiosity, you don't think that would have happened if Jordan decided to leave Chicago? Did or if Magic would have left the LA?
Let me ask you, did that happen when he left for the White Sox?
Yeah,
exactly. No, he didn't.
Everybody tuned in. Hell, I was watching White Sox baseball. Correct. Because Jordan was playing you in just Chicago. Want to see.
You're not a big shifter. What I'm saying is, I think LeBron, if he would be the certified, I think he's the certified GOAT only because Kobe Bryant died young. If Kobe was on a different team than Lakers,
You're entitled to your opinion. Yeah.
I am entitled to my opinion. I just shared it with everybody listening.
My take is Michael Jordan is the best basketball player I've ever seen in my life. There's a lot of great ones. Michael could do everything. And LeBron, I'm not taking nothing away from him. Mm-hmm. But in my mind, LeBron would never go higher than Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan could do everything. Everything. And he did it. He was 42 years old and went and played for the Washington Wizards and scored, 40 or 50 points? Mm-hmm. 42!
It's easy when nobody else on the score and nobody else on the team is scoring. We're talking about the Wizards. Nobody even knew they had a team in Washington, D.C. area until he got even on there.
In my opinion, Michael Jordan is the greatest basketball player of all time. Been a bunch of great ones. But Michael Jordan took the NBA. Magic and Bird and them took it right here. Mm-hmm. Michael took it to the stratosphere.
Let me throw this in on you. Do you think Michael Jordan during his era was better than Alex English during the 80s?
Absolutely.
Yes.
And I have an Alex English basketball card. Yeah. So I know exactly who he's talking about.
Alex English ain't even in the conversation. He was good, but he ain't Michael Jordan stuff.
Alex English, he had to wear that stupid uniform. He was the man in the 80s.
I have the Kimbe Mutombo's number one draft pick card in that uniform that he's talking about.
I mean.
I hate y'all. It's on the record. I hate y'all.
I'd have felt better if you'd have said Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf.
And it's funny I'm saying this and my wife is listening. I dated a girl that dated his younger brother. You know, that's just like a little sidebar.
You dated a girl that dated Alex English?
No, Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf. His name was Chris Jackson.
Chris Jackson. Correct.
Yeah. He had a younger brother by the name of Omar.
Okay.
Ta-da.
Okay.
That's my, six degrees of separation. So.
Boy, that's something. And you talked about Kobe. Kobe was a great player, but Kobe, he made his whole game
pattern after
Michael Jordan.
Exactly.
Yes, he did.
You can look at him.
Yeah, he tried to walk like him. He tried to talk like him.
The fadeaway?
That fadeaway, everything. Kobe was great, but it's only one Michael Jordan, bro.
Bro,
Why LeBron James wear number 23? Why?
Why do players wear the baggy shorts now? Michael didn't wear them because they were baggy. He had his practice shorts on underneath. He had to be big enough. Right. That's what it was about.
Right.
It wasn't about just sagging.
Right. Why did every player? My grandson is 10 years old. He know who in the hell Michael Jordan is.
What I'm saying.
He 10!
Hey, nobody scored more points than Alex English during the 80s. Nobody. some fools
combined. Will you stop talking about Alex Ingles?
Alex Ingles is dope, man.
Alex was a good player, but he ain't even in the conversation with Jordan.
Fat Lever next to him.
I know he had Fat Lever.
I'm just saying. You know.
All they did was score a lot of points. They never won no titles.
They couldn't stop anybody.
They couldn't stop nobody. They would beat people 175 to 160.
Bro, putting them up. Numbers. Numbers, baby. Dropping them.
I mean.
I have their basketball cards. So, Upper Deck.
So, Upper Deck. All right, there we go.
Yeah,
no,
so.
I think Kobe, just listen to like his interviews and stuff like that and just mm-hmm. how he thinks. He's just incredibly cerebral mm-hmm. and he's had that, you know, that Black Mamba mindset for such a long time, man.
He did such,
I mean,
it's, where did he get that from?
Yeah, I don't, it's not like he met Michael Jordan until he got in the league. What I'm saying, but no. He had it.
He saw the dominance that Jordan
that's
had.
Right.
He got in it from practice, his dad.
People used to practice and hated Michael Jordan, and I'm on his team,
man.
That's right.
What I'm saying is like,
and Kobe was like that.
Yeah.
But that dominance, I think Kobe took it even further. I think he was more of a cerebral player than I think
Michael. More than Michael Jordan.
Michael was a dog.
I said it. I said it.
Michael was a dog.
What I'm saying is I think Michael was ball aggressive, where Kobe Bryant was more cerebral. And I think LeBron.
Why was Michael ball aggressive? Because why? I can make the shot. I'm not trusting you to do it.
Right.
I'm making the shot.
Tell
That's
him.
Why.
Tell
I'm,
him.
I'm making my point there.
Okay.
Encyclopedia. We're about to change your name to pamphlet in a minute. All right. You're about to be brochure when I'm done with you. Okay.
Okay.
My point is how they think. I think that right now, LeBron James is better. He's like, he's a baseball equivalent of a five tool player. He can hit homers. He's got great defense.
You don't think Michael had them too?
I think his defense was good. I think he can.
Was
he can,
good? Really
was good?
Was
can,
good?
Can I make a statement defensive without you two player old of the year? How many times, in? Malcolm?
Defensive player of the year? How many times?
Offensive player the same year. So was good.
He also had to play against Indiana back then. So like gear down, okay, gear down.
All right. Wait a minute, Reggie Miller was one of my favorite players because he could shoot.
Apparently, so, you want to fight out in the parking lot because I hate Reggie Miller.
It's okay. People do hate Miller time.
And look,
I hate Reggie Miller. You know who he looks like? He looked like one of those Star Trek characters that used to always fool people.
Look like an Ethiopian. With the ears.
He can hear me now.
He
looked
like an Ethiopian.
He looked like a polished turd is what he looked like. Although his sister was cute. You know what I'm saying? Just this sidebar or anything. Gotcha. But
Cheryl was till she became a man.
Cheryl was very cute. She was
beautiful until she...
She used to kick his ass all the time.
Cheryl was a beautiful girl until she...
I didn't know about that till later in life.
Yeah. He'd be the first one to say it. Like, right. Yeah, she's the best basketball player in her house. But yeah, my point though is like, I don't like him.
Well, look.
I don't like him.
Well, look, Kobe, we're going to finish up with Kobe. Kobe's whole persona was about Michael Jordan. He did it. He tried to talk like him.
Walk like him.
He tried to walk like him.
Shoot
he tried
like
to
him.
Shoot like him. Yeah. Everything. Michael Jordan is the GOAT. LeBron James is everything that they said he was going to be when he come out of, He's everything they said he was going to be, but he is not Michael Jordan.
I know. He's better.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
You know, I know he's better.
And you know why?
I said it.
And look, and you know why all the young kids say he's the GOAT now? Because he's in their era.
Right.
They didn't see Mike when he was being great the way he was being great. Just game after game, just give me the ball.
And I'm saying before he started winning
to
even get there to go through the Pistons, he was still great.
He was still great.
Well, this entire chat agrees with me, so I'm looking at him.
Bump y'all.
They've been wrong before.
They all said, like, that, wow, Dex, you're so amazing.
Yeah, because they're all probably all your age.
They're all, I don't know how old anybody is. But what they're saying is, yes, LeBron is better than Michael Jordan.
No, it's not.
That's what they said.
No, we disagree. Now, you looking at that board, so me and Malcolm don't know if you lying or not.
Why would I lie to you? What do I get from lying to you?
You're making them all. All right, hey, let's take a short break, Dick. When we come back, we're going to talk about the NFL draft, which is next week, and what the Atlanta Falcons need to do. Back in a minute.
If you're involved in a serious car, motorcycle, or truck wreck, call Cole Law at The Law Firm. That's 770-382-6000 here in downtown Cartersville. For 30 years, Cole has handled thousands of injury cases and will help anyone that's been injured due to carelessness. Remember, if you're involved in a wreck, do not talk to the other person's insurance company. Instead, call Cole Law at 770-382-6000. It doesn't cost anything to call Cole, except a deserved settlement.
All right, we are back on the Couch Potato Sports Report, talking about sports the way you talk about it around the water cooler. And we definitely been doing that this evening, guys. Yes, want to appreciate all our people out there on the computer that's tuning in with us. iDoc, Smoke, Mariana. Who else we got, Dex?
My lovely, lovely wife.
And Dex's lovely, lovely wife.
Yeah. So
appreciate all y'all for joining, man. Y'all make the ride even
family
better.
Family time is important.
Oh yeah, family time.
All right. So this is brought up on the chat. The over under on 4.5 QBs taken in the first round. What do you guys think? I'm thinking a solid three of them. I don't know if it'll be four. Although I feel like some team is gonna sleep on Joe Morton. I think
who?
Joe Milton? Joe Morton.
Yeah,
that dude out of Tennessee.
It's Milton.
Yeah, I think somebody's gonna be like, all right, let's pick this dude up, and then he might show off. So
well, you know, you went there, but you know, we were gonna start with the NFL draft.
Okay, well, you know,
so
I was going off the chat, bro. You gotta feed it to the audience.
Tell the chat they need to wait till I talk. Anyway, when you talk about the first three, it's Williams, Daniels, and Michael Penix has really come up. He could sneak in there at the third quarterback. Yeah. He really could. I don't know, but he's been coming up the board hard.
Do you think he'll go before McCarthy?
I think he better than McCarthy, but you know, that it's just all that. That's the flip flop right there. You correct. Just don't know
the needs and the fit.
Yeah. Team. So they could go 4-5-3-4.
I'll be honest with you. I think any of those guys are pretty good, dude. Like, I think a few of them are going to immediately step in and just game change. But I think a lot of those guys are pretty decent ball players, man.
Well, they thought Zach Wilson was a good quarterback too, but he's not.
He was good until he wasn't.
They thought Mitch Trubisky was a good quarterback too, but he's not.
I can tell you Mitch Trubisky wasn't going to be a good quarterback because he looks like an alcoholic.
Well, I'm just telling you what they thought, you know, but he's not.
Right.
So, okay, so the Atlanta Falcons, we got that draft coming up next week. And Dick, can the Falcons finally get it right this time?
Nope. Nah, man.
Why not?
Because they are sponsored by Cottonelle. That way they can shit the bed anytime they want.
We just don't seem to have, Malcolm, we just don't seem to have, it's something with scouting. I mean, we get so many guys in the league that we had a chance to get, and we passed on them, and then we pick a Tack McKinley!
They're okay with being mediocre, and that's the truth.
I mean, you know what? I don't think they okay with being mediocre. I just think they picked the wrong damn people.
But they're okay.
They're not okay.
If we finished 8-8, we were right there. No, you weren't.
I mean, what are other scouts seeing that our scouts are not seeing? And when you got a chance to draft these guys, now, we got a good team. Raheem's got a good team. He just got to fill some spots. I've heard Dallas Turner in Alabama. First, they said he was great. Now they're saying he's not that great a pass rusher. They said the curse guy was better than Dallas Turner. Now they're saying the curse guy ain't that good. So, our scouts got to get something right because we need a pass rusher and we need a cornerback.
And it's the same team that drafted Andre Bruce.
No doubt.
So, I mean.
But – well, it's
So for years,
it ain't the same organization, though.
You're correct. And I didn't understand the importance of a pass rusher.
Right.
My father met me understood a cornerback can only cover for so long.
He can only cover for so
how great he is.
That's exactly right.
So, yeah, if you can't get somebody to get to the
pass, you got to rush the. You got, and not only you got to rush, you got to put him on his back.
Yeah.
That, come on with it.
Yeah, I mean, they do have to kind of shore up the D-line, O-line. But it's so funny because they're always like one or two pieces away.
Always.
And then last year, they were just a quarterback away. Hmm. You know what I mean? And and part of it was like the timing of like the South was just open.
It's still open.
Yeah. It's still open now, but it was like really open. So that could have been a bunch of free, easy games. That should have been eight easy ones right there. But
and then you start Desmond Ridder in the first game, but in preseason, he didn't play.
He needed
all the reps, and he didn't get no reps.
I was cheering for him, man.
How smart was that?
I was cheering for him. They should have definitely built up.
We were all cheering for him.
Yeah.
The coaching staff failed Desmond Ridder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The coaching staff failed because he needed to get all them reps in preseason. If he gets hurt, that's just too bad.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But he's
not putting him in position to get hurt. Right. That's just what happened. But he needs to be on the field.
He needed to get every rep that was a rep.
Yeah.
Because you had Heineke. Mm-hmm. He had done led a team. He knew you knew what you was gonna get out of him. Ridder shouldn't have missed the game.
Nah, it sucks because now he's in Arizona and everything. Maybe he'll get a better chance there, but
maybe so. Yeah. But we gotta get this draft right, guys. We on the brink. Mm-hmm. And see, Raheem's really gotta get it right.
Yeah.
Because I'm gonna tell you, Raheem got 3 years at best.
Yeah, that's accurate.
He got 3 years at best. And we in them 3 years, we better make the playoffs at least one of them years. Because if he go into that third year not making the playoffs in 2 years, he got three games. And you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
It's going he ain't gonna get near by this long shot.
Right.
Nah, which is sad because when you let a player, or not a player, but when you let a coach come in and just set up their system, get past the 1 year honeymoon period, set things in, get in motion, start getting the right team around them in their system, then you can kind of evaluate them. Exactly. You can't really evaluate them within the first 3 years. Nobody's going to turn that around. In like
coaches only
one.
Get
Jimmy Johnson couldn't have done it. Have you not? No. Everybody go.
That's
he
right.
Knew what he had to do.
He knew what he had to do.
Yeah.
But coaches, they giving coaches basically 3 years now. It used to be at least five.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They giving them 3 years now. Some of them they giving one because the Texans and Arizona, they gave Wilkes and I forget that other black coach in Texas. They gave them both 1 year. Mm-hmm. 1 year. What can you do in 1 year? You don't even know what you got.
You can collect 1 year's worth of paycheck.
That's what they did.
That's what they did. That's he was keeping the spot warm for somebody else.
Yeah. So I hope we can get it right. We got to get a pass rusher from somewhere. We could use another offensive tackle. They got the big out boy in Notre Dame. He's 6'9".
That's it? That's kind of short.
He's 6'9", 300 pounds. He is a mammoth of a man. He's probably not going to be there for us later on. Mm-hmm. But if he's there, you got to pick him.
Yeah.
I mean you got to. And then we need a cornerback. Main thing, pass rusher, cornerback, offensive tackle, and maybe a center late. But because we got some good parts right now. Raheem ain't that far away, but you got to they got to go in the right direction, and you got to fill in the correct hole with the correct people.
Yeah. Now.
Okay, so you got a 6'9" offensive tackle. How much of a problem is that going to be for Kirk Cousins? Like, how tall is he? Like 6'4", maybe 6'3"?
You got to think he's a tackle.
Correct.
So he's on the outside.
Okay.
He's not going to impede his sight.
Yeah.
Yeah. And see.
And you want him to keep Kirk upright.
Upright.
Yeah.
And you're going to put him on that right side. Correct. Because you got the other boy that's been there for 10 years on the left. So he's going to be your right tackle or a swing tackle. So that's what you got. because Caleb McCary is the right tackle right now. Good in the run, not so good in the pass.
Yeah.
Alt can do both.
Nice, nice.
So that's where we at. Anyway, that's what we got to get from the Falcons. Dick, you got any closing thoughts on the Falcons?
I think it's going to be interesting watching them because, again, they got the South open to them. It's basically on paper, it's theirs to lose.
I agree.
On paper, it's theirs to lose, depending on what they do. That's just puts a lot more pressure on Raheem, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Forgive me.
Your final thoughts on the Falcons.
Well, if they can get things right with the offensive line, because the still thing, I don't think we're going to stop anybody. So we've got to outscore people.
Well, hopefully Grady will be back. The one that just retired last year coming back. So that's going to add some more depth on that.
And it does. It almost makes a farewell because you just said he just retired. It's a reason.
He retired twice.
Exactly.
But I guess he liked Raheem. Right. So that's why he came back.
It's all them gold watches.
Yeah. So anyway, but he came back. I forget his name, but he came from Chicago. Goldman.
Goldman, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, we just got to get it right. I don't have no answers. Raheem's got to do a good job. He's got to win to stay in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And you better get the draft right now. Yeah. All right, let's finish up with the Atlanta Braves. We got with two All-Stars out, the Atlanta Braves, are they still the best in the East, Mal?
As long as they have pitching, yes.
Okay.
That heals any ailment that you might have. And they can still hit the baseball.
Oh, yeah. Keep hitting it. Dick?
I think they're going to have a hard time with the Rangers, to be honest with you. I think the Rangers are due a win tonight. It would kind of suck if they lost, but I think, you know, statistically speaking, the Rangers are due. And I hate the Rangers, so they're probably going
to
win.
Didn't nobody even know who the Rangers were until they won the World Series last year.
I knew that. They were the team that George Bush bankrupted.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I knew that.
I knew them from Nolan Ryan with the blood.
Exactly.
Oh, Nolan Ryan, dude. Those are the days, man. That guy was... That was a great pitcher right there.
It's hard
man.
To believe Alex Rodriguez played with the Rangers.
Right, exactly.
He did, didn't he?
$250 million when he signed that. He played with the Rangers.
Oh,
yeah. God. So, you know, Ronald Acuña finally hit his first home run the other night. Okay. He didn't even think he got it. He hit it 422 feet. He hit it 422 feet, and he didn't even he slammed the bat down because he didn't think he got it. Okay. We've been getting some our starting pitchers go 5-6. That's kind of Snicker's MO. I wish if they pitching good, I think you need to stretch them out a little bit more.
I think it's par for the course early in the season.
I know it's early.
Yeah.
But he does it late in the season too.
That's what I'm saying. You're hoping he's going to change.
Yeah, he does late, and I don't agree with that.
Right.
But our bullpen's been pretty stellar. Had a couple of hiccups, but they've been pretty stellar. Ronald seems like he's starting to, if he gets that long ball going, look out.
He's back in his groove.
But Marcell Ozuna is killing the ball. Whoever seen Marcell Ozuna is hitting everything. It's looking like a beach ball.
Unbelievable.
It's looking like a beach ball to that guy.
Yeah.
So I'm happy for that guy.
Yeah.
For you know what's happened, and he's kind of put it back on. Mm-hmm. Now instead of saying, "Well, we're going to release Marcell at the end of the year," if he keeps playing like this, the conversation going to be, "How much we going to pay him? are we going to sign him at least for on a 1 year deal for $20 million?" You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm with you, Malcolm. Our pitching it's got to be stellar. Since we lost Strider.
Yeah.
Ozzy's been out. He got banged in the toe. I love Ozzy, but Ozzy misses a lot of games. Mm. And I hate that because he is the catalyst of the team. I wish he had little freak accidents that make him miss 10, 12 games. So,
and it's funny, his name is apropos because he is a wizard with the glove.
Oh, yeah. He's very good. I like the addition of Adam Duvall in left field with, what's his name, Klee Kick? What's his name, Dick? Clinic? It's clinic, I think.
Man, I got to go back to
anyway,
it.
Anyway, I think that's a good thing. He's even hitting the ball pretty good. And Adam Duvall hit a home run the other night. And then, you know, you got Michael Harris, who is
Kelenic?
That's him. What did I say? Clinic? Son, man.
Bruh, I'm just going to buy you vowels and let you put them wherever you feel.
Hey, I'm just trying to remember his name. Yeah. I murdered that, but that's okay.
Yeah, you kind of did.
That's okay.
All right.
But Michael Harris is, I'm thinking he's going to have a breakout year. This guy should have won a gold glove last year, and he didn't.
Right.
And then, you know, you got Matt Olson. I mean, they ain't got no weakness. And then when you get Murphy to catch it back, and you getting good catch and play right now with Trump and Darno, but when you get Murphy back, I mean, again, we've talked about the lineup, Malcolm, many times. Mm-hmm. If we can keep that pitching where it needs to be, the East is ours anyway.
Yeah, I mean,
and when we get to the playoffs,
nobody's gonna want to come to Atlanta,
right?
Yeah.
We're a better team than the Dodgers. The Dodgers, lower part of their lineup, they can't compare to ours.
Correct.
Arcia, killing the ball. Ooh. Killing the ball.
Yeah.
Yes.
And his glove, you talking about a wizard.
Yeah, I was just going to say, his glove
again. And they saying, Dansby who?
Is what I was just going to ask you if you thought, if you feel like he fully replaced Dansby.
Yeah. I mean, he's giving you everything Dansby would have given you.
He had a big plus.
Yeah. He had a big hit the other night to win the game.
Right.
And you know, it's always we gotta win it. It's time. Spencer Strider said, even with me out, I still think we can win the World Series. That's how good we are if we play the way we should.
I mean, you don't think the Phillies are a problem?
They not in the regular season. It's when we get in the postseason.
If they can hang in the postseason, they got a Jones for us, man.
It seems like Bryce Harper just
can't stop. Our bats got to keep going.
That's right. We got to hit.
Yeah.
You got to hit. We just swept the Houston Astros.
Yeah.
They don't seem like they're as good as they were last year. But they still a good team. We swept them in their place.
Right.
Let's correct that name, the Trastros.
Okay. Well, you call it whatever you want.
I do. And I did.
But, you know, anyway, you know, Dick, what's your thoughts on our team, our baseball team?
Man, they're looking good, dude. They're exciting to watch. I mean, come on.
When Ronald's the battery.
Yes. Yeah. You know, it's alive and well, man.
It is. And it's a great atmosphere. Everybody around the league is building new stadiums. Yeah. Got that from that. They doing that from Atlanta executives.
I mean,
and I'm sure they charging them.
Oh yeah. I mean, and with like the whole atmosphere, you know, the weather's nice, the beer's cold, hot dogs got mustard on them. You know what I'm saying?
They got a cigar bar inside the battery.
See, I didn't even know.
I hit it every time I go.
I bet you do. I bet you do.
And it's just a wonderful atmosphere. It's just, you can go to the battery when they're not in town.
Yeah.
They got
and watch the game. Yeah.
They got restaurants, cigar bar. they got all of that. It's just whoever come up with that, they probably sitting somewhere smoking a cigar and sipping on their cognac because they done got paid very well.
Basking in their glory.
They are.
Whoever
came up with that they win.
Yeah, I watched this video essay on like how baseball, even though the attendance is going down, it's actually kind of still up.
Yeah.
And what it is there's so many things to do. It's such an atmosphere with how baseball is promoted. And you know, the attendance in baseball it's more than all the other sports combined. So,
well, it's the national pastime.
Yeah.
It's a great ticket. The Braves, they're playing the Texas Rangers, and I think this is the week the Ronald Acuña bobblehead, isn't it?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So I got to make it to one of them games because I got to get that bobblehead. Do you hear me? Because I got the bat flip.
Right.
I got
this the stolen base.
This one's the stolen base. Mm-hmm. So I got the bat flip bobblehead, and let's see. They play tonight, tomorrow. I may try to go tomorrow. They play it at night tomorrow, right? And then they play Sunday. They might not play Sunday. There's supposed to be an 80% chance of rain, but tomorrow got to be a good day.
Tomorrow is going to be a good day. You know why? Because I'm going to start it off early in the morning at 8 o'clock when I'm on the Toilet Bowl Club.
Yeah.
Talking to my man, paper. Smoke.
Yeah.
Angie, always a good time. Yeah. 8 a.m. every Saturday. Join us live. Nothing but jokes. Fun times.
Check out the Toilet Bowl Club, man.
Awesome folks in the
Smoke,
morning.
Smoke, you going to be there?
Smoke. He'd be the first one, man.
I doubt.
You know, Doc's going to be there. Mariana. You know, everybody's going to be there. So, Shorty.
And look, and I got to apologize to Smoke and I, Doc, Shorty, and everybody, Mariana. Every Saturday morning, I try my best to make it.
It's all them damn cigars.
But I just can't do it. I just, at 8 o'clock on a Saturday, I just can't get up. I try, but I can't.
They got this one thing called coffee. You're going to love it, dude. Yeah, it's great. Yeah. It's awesome. Yeah. So.
Well, I try. But anyway, all right, Dad, give me some parting shots, babe.
Parting shots. Best of luck to my son, Juicebox Jack, tomorrow. He's got a tournament, and I know he's going to do well. And my younger son, Daxton, he's got a game tomorrow. But he also made the all-star team.
All right.
Awesome. They're going to switch him from pitcher to shortstop because – he's great at getting the ball. He knows where everything's going. And so
congratulations.
Yeah, yeah. So thank you. So shout out to them.
All right. Malcolm.
Well, I'll be up early in the morning running a 5K.
Okay.
At the Beltline in Atlanta.
Well, good for you, dude.
Yes, sir.
Good for dude.
Fucking for show you. Off.
And one sidebar for Malcolm. Malcolm played in the Couch Potato Sports Report 3-on-3 basketball tournament a couple of years ago. And he tore his ACL.
Patella tendon.
Whatever. They all in the knee, ain't they?
Yeah.
And it hurt. And he had to have surgery. Mm-hmm. And I felt so bad for him because and this is the kind of guy Malcolm is. So I go out there to check on him, and everybody's out there, and he says, "Mike, man, I'm sorry. I'm sorry." I said, "Man, I'm sorry." But he's apologizing to me because he hurt himself. And that's the kind of guy Malcolm Cooley is. He's telling me, "I'm sorry, man. I apologize." No, man, you okay? I want you to be all right.
It's like James Brown when he has that cape and he falls and gives everything on the stage. They got to drape the cape over him. But he pulls up with that knee, goes back for one more.
But at any rate, this is the kind of athlete in person Malcolm is. He comes back, he has his surgery, and then I see him, he tells me he's out jogging already. I mean, if that's not intestinal fortitude, I don't know what it is.
Or internal fortitude?
What did I say?
Intestinal fortitude.
I mean, well, I'm butchering the night.
That sounds like you're encouraging a bowel movement, bro. You can do it, Malcolm. Give it a little squeeze. Pinch it off, brother.
What did Mr. Morgan them say? What did they call it? They called it that, didn't they? They called it intestinal fortitude, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah,
dude. That's y'all did. And they educated us in Bartow County.
Did he say that when he was taking a shit?
That's what he said.
Was he dropping a gopher?
I'm just telling you. I'm just doing what my elder said.
All right.
But anyway, and Malcolm, now he's about to go running in this race, and that's the first of this two, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if more kids had that type of attitude, we'd have a lot more athletes because they believe in the work ethic, putting in the work. So, anyway, want to wish you the best of luck on that, Malcolm.
Appreciate it.
And my parting shot is I want to give a parting shout out to the Eddie Lee Wilkins 10-year-old fifth grade Future Stars, which my grandson is on, and they won the tournament. They won the Villa Rica Shootout Blackout tournament last weekend. Mm. And so, I mean, he really had a great tournament. I was so proud of 12 points, 16 points. His final game was 12 points, 9 rebounds, and 3 assists. Hit the game-winning free throw with 2 seconds left on the clock. In the clutch, it was ice time, and he iced it, and the crowd went wild, you know? Saquon was over there trying to get up off his bench so he could yell. Yeah. So it was just a great weekend. I was so proud of the young boys. Tomar McClendon is the coach.
Okay.
And we were shorthanded that day. I think we had six players had to win two games that day, won the two games. Wow. And they just did a phenomenal job. And I couldn't be more proud of all of them, but in particular, my grandson, Trenton, who played outstanding, rebounding, scoring big buckets at crunch time.
Yeah.
Drawing, playing defense the right way.
Nine rebounds is not a simple slouch on any day.
You know why? Blocking out.
Yes, sir.
I got to give it to him. He's putting in the work on off practice days. We go to the gym. He shoots 500 shots. We work on defense. We work on footing. We work on all the fundamentals. And I can see him applying that during the game. Gotcha. I can see that. We've worked on staying on the floor, getting big when they come in there and just get big, you know. And he's went from getting four fouls a game down to one, and it's questionable because he's putting himself in the right position.
Right.
And I'm so proud of that. And I'm proud of him working as hard as he's been working. So.
I just want to, say to the audience, in fairness, Trenton has a medical condition to where he creates ice in his veins and it gives him what he needs to keep on going. So, congrats to him.
You guys could have been there. Okay. He got fouled, had two shots. Okay, he shoots, he misses the first one, and it just off.
Yeah.
That second one went up, and the crowd went wild. I mean, it was just phenomenal, man. And then they throw the ball in. They argued that it was the time expired, right? And they argued that it was 1.4 on the clock. Mm. They stood over there arguing. They put 1.4 back on the clock. And the time expired. And it was just pandemonium, man. I couldn't have been. I was just, they got their medals and all that. I was just, you talking about a proud grandpa.
Yes,
because the reason why I was so proud, because he putting in the work when everybody else is resting.
Yes, sir.
That's what he's doing. So proud of you, Trent. So anyway, guys, hey, great show tonight. I want to thank everybody in the on the computer with Deck. I want to thank Malcolm, the encyclopedia. Deck, we're working on your name. And, just hang with us.
Always, man. Always, brother. Yeah, so shout out to Doc, Smoke, the lovely Mariana, and the even lovelier Shell, my wife. Stay tuned with us. Check us out on Twitter, on the Couch Spot. Go to the website. Share with a friend. Don't like the show? Share with two people you don't like. but check us out every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern. And check the Toll Bowl Club out 8 a.m. tomorrow. We'll see you.
See you guys. All right. Good ride.